C1B, 1 and 2.
Number 14B.
So if you want to summarize quickly those subtones of principle, we see there came a period in the development of the spiritual evolution where the question would have to be asked, who is God? What is God? Do we have idols, man-made gods, which we worship, or is God a principle? So Mr. Zeddy answers and says, yes, God is a principle. Therefore, in principle as mind, she asks us not to believe in personal gods, but to see that the only God, and to understand and know that the only God there is principle, which is life, truth, and love. Therefore, that principle must be chosen as our own principle, principle as spirit. And therefore, we should put away all the false material theories that only lead us astray. Therefore, all our devotion, we come now to principle as soul, all our devotion, all our longing must be towards that one principle. We identify ourselves with that one principle. Then principle identifies us. And so, like Jesus, we get a new title, a title that carries only the nature of God, no other nature. And as we see that, then we begin to realize, in principle as principle, that we are the reflection, the governing, the royal reflection of principle, that the government is on our shoulder, as the Bible would say, that now the government can be put on our shoulder, and that we rule through our identity with principle in principle's stead, that we govern the world with our understanding of principle, and that entitles us in principle as life to solve the problems of being. So this would be an indication what true government implies. We go on to the next big subject, life. And as we come to the subject life, this is it takes in naturally Jesus, who was introducing the 5,000-year period of biblical history, and the period of life, really. Naturally, he relied on the divine principle, but was showing forth, really, a new sense of life, namely, of spiritual life. So the caption which we have here is the following. The belief that man has a corporeal life, most of the people have a sense that they have a corporeal life, so it's a very important subject, yields to the fact that the life of man can only be discerned spiritually. It brings us now nearer and nearer to our age where we feel, well, everybody seems to have a corporeal life, and we can testify to that corporeal life through our material senses, whereas we should testify through our spiritual senses, spiritually, what life is, because life is spiritual and not material. And if life is spiritual, not material, we can only testify to that life spiritually and not materially, because only like understands like, and we can see how we always make the terrific mistake that we shift our standpoint, that in one way we say life is spiritual. That's something that one learns in the first hour in Christian Science, that life is spiritual. And then we try to judge and measure that life from a material standpoint. And then we say, I can't demonstrate that. I still die. I still feel that life is in my body, and I don't feel any more much life in my body, or something like that. Can you see the inconsistency of standpoint is really that which bewilders the student of Christian Science. If he would see that his standpoint would have to be consistent in order to understand Christian Science, it would be much easier. If life is spirit and only spiritual, then it is not material. And therefore, if it's not material, it cannot be seen through material senses. can only be witnessed through spiritual sense. That would be consistent. And this is what Mrs. Eddy tries to show here also, that therefore that belief that man has a corporeal life must yield to that fact which says, no, man has a spiritual life, but that spiritual life which he actually has can only be discerned spiritually and in no other way. How does she evolve that subject? She evolves it through those four subtones, like in the fifth day of creation. The fifth day of creation have only four subtones. In life as mind, what do we see in life as mind? I've epitomized it like this: material views, see the counterfeit of mind, views, material views, cannot discern the true idea of life, cannot know the true idea of life, cannot comprehend, perceive, recognize the true idea of life. The moment we go out from material views, therefore that life is material, that's a material view, bodily life, that's a material view. If we go out from that, we never know really and can perceive what really the idea of life is. And this is the trouble with us. So Mrs. Eddy evolves this question and says, you see, the material views of the Jews, a Jews that had only a material view about Jesus, these material views, not the Jews, were actually the parent of all wicked deeds. It isn't the Jews, it's the material views. And so today it's still not the Jews, it's our material views that persecute life in spirit. Therefore, Jesus, who knew something else, he had another view. He knew that mind was the builder, and because he knew that mind was the builder, he could also raise up the body. He had a mind view on life, and in the mind view of life, life is always eternal. But even that, she says, the materialists, those who have a material view, lost sight of the true Jesus. They couldn't see the true Jesus. But who could see the true Jesus? And she said, Mary. Mary saw him as a true idea of life and substance. So you see what she's telling here in two, three different ways. Always a question. You can have either a material view of Jesus, of life, or you can have a spiritual view of life, and the whole thing changes. With a material view of life, you will always have life that dies. With a spiritual view of life, you always have life eternal. And therefore, only with a spiritual view can you really see the idea of life. And you can't see bodily life, corporeal life, material life. So what we need is that consciousness of a Jesus who knew better, he knew from mind, or the consciousness of a Mary, who in spite of Jesus being on the cross, could see the idea of life. She was not sidetracked by a material view. She didn't believe that anymore. It took her quite a while to see it, because for a long time she really couldn't quite see what Jesus was. But finally she could see it, and so it is a question, do we also have a Mary consciousness? Can we also view life as idea and not as corporeal life, human life, family life, business life, social life, etc., etc., etc.? So if that is stated at the beginning first correctly, that life is not something per se that you can testify, but that it is a state of consciousness, that it depends on your viewpoint, then life as spirit says material beliefs and laws oppose spiritual being. And we see that a material view of life is against spiritual living, must be against spiritual living. The marginal heading here is opposition of materialists. to bring out what he wants to bring out, that to material belief, the spiritual Jesus was imperceptible. It just can't see it. The material-minded can never see what the spiritual-minded are driving at. And so the materially-minded can never see the true idea of life. They are in opposition. Whereas what gives us, what substantializes for us eternal life is what Mrs. Eddy said here, whosoever believeth in me, he shall never die. Whosoever believeth in me means whosoever has an understanding of that life, which is spirit, he shall never die. In other words, if we begin to see for ourselves that the life that seems to be our life is actually not our life, but life God, and if we see that life God is from eternity to eternity, that life God has never been put into matter, we have life as spirit, has never been put into matter, then we will see already now eternal life. And we don't have to demonstrate resurrection. For life, there is no resurrection. We cannot resurrect life. Just not possible. Because life has never been put into matter, never dwelt into matter, therefore never has to be resurrected out of matter. So we have a wonderful sense here that men at the point of the 5,000 year period began to realize, like Mary and like Jesus, that we have to start there where life is seen as spirit and always has been life as spirit, never as matter. And that we give up that false ghost of materiality which believes that we live in a body, that life is in the body, and may die in the body. This is just too nonsensical if we think along the lines of science. I like always to go back. Where have I ever been? Before Abraham I was. How can I see what my being is when it was before Abraham? Then I'm not so concerned about the wrong question, will I overcome death? If there is no death, I don't need to overcome it. Apparently it's a wrong question. The right question, therefore, is that life was ever since ever, and that life is spirit and never material. Therefore, life was never in matter, never lived in matter, never limited in matter, never died in matter, never has to resurrect out of matter. These are the right questions, to see that. And that gives me a sense, therefore, I have always lived I, who I, who I, the I am of being. The I am of being has always been life in and of spirit. And that's the only I am-ness that exists. And it takes away the personal I from me that I have a life of my own. I don't have a life of my own. The moment I feel I have a life of my own, I limit it in a person and in the body and in the time concept and in the place concept. And this is anyway not the right starting point. There is something about life which we have to learn, you know. And it's very little we have to learn. Namely, only to start rightly with life. Most people start with the question of life, that we have life, and that we live, and that our body lives, and that we have a life of our own. That's usually the starting point, and that's a wrong starting point, that's a materialistic view, and that never finds an answer. But starting right is so simple, life eternal. But that life eternal is spirit, in and of spirit, never in matter, never born into matter, never, 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 never. And so we have to see that. He goes on then to life as soul and shows that Jesus' understanding that his ego was God. You see, now I come to that point which I just touched, that I have to see that I don't have a life. We can't say I live. I don't live. The ego that is God is life, and that lives. So Jesus had to understand that his ego was God, but that brought forth upon him the anathema of the age, as she says. What was, therefore, Jesus' concept of having life? Did he feel, I live, I have my own life? No, he said, I and my Father are one. So he identified himself with God, with his Father. That has life, not he had life. So he knew of but one mind, and he knew that his ego, capital E, was mind and not the body. Therefore, whenever he spoke about I, in, for instance, very much in John's Gospel, I, he always spoke about the I, that is the I am God. He never accepted for himself an I. He never considered himself with the personal pronoun I. I am the light of the world. Who did he mean with I? God. I am the resurrection and the life. He meant God. The I am is that resurrection and life, and not his personal I. He had a terrific sense of life, you see. That's why he could bring forth a demonstration of eternal life in spite of the body, that he had a completely different sense of I. I and the Father are one. He knew but one ego, mind. He didn't, Mr. Zed doesn't say he just knew one ego, namely himself. No, he knew but one ego, mind. But she also shows that this brought forth the anathema of the age. The world doesn't hate anything so much as the concept that we are not an I, that we are not the big shot, that we are nothing, that we have no being of our own, that the only being there is life, Father, God, and the world hates it, because man wants to be something out of himself. And that humility which he brought out by saying, I and my Father are one, that just brought all the persecution on him. And therefore we must not be astounded that in the measure as we begin to realize that tremendous fact, that we may be misunderstood too. She goes on to show life as principle. Life as principle. I epitomized it like this: by subduing false views, we can discern and prove. Principle always proves itself. Proof what? Man's spiritual existence, life. Can you see the tonality of life being proof? Life being proved through its principle. She develops the subject like this. She says that Christ's sonship with God could really not be discerned. That's why it brought the anathema of the age upon him. Why couldn't Christ's sonship with God, his oneness with the divine principle really, why couldn't that be discerned? Why don't people understand the spiritual idea? Why don't people understand the progressive idea? Why don't people understand the pioneer? When one thinks they should all be happy that there is a pioneer that is breaking up new ground and goes further and leads further, why are all pioneers be persecuted? Why is there a law about it that pioneers must be persecuted? Well, that law is naturally not a divine law, but it is an understandable human law, because a limited sense can never see a wider, broader, higher sense. And this is what she brings out here: because of the false views of the people. The old paradigm never can see the new paradigm. This is the tragedy in religion, it's a tragedy in art, it's a tragedy in every science. It's the tragedy of the whole world. We think progress is accepted by everybody. Everybody throws up the hat when somebody comes along and says, I have seen something new. I have seen something terrific. No, nobody throws up the hat. They throw stones at you. That's all what they throw. Because the limited view. The limited cannot see the unlimited. Was that a good joke? Made in a minute. Right there on the spot. Huh? Yeah, that's it. Because of the false views, Their carnal mind, therefore, were at enmity. At enmity. Their thoughts were filled with mortal error. Can you see all the mortality and the narrowness of the mentality? Therefore, what is the answer? Now she gives the answer, how we cannot be a persecutor. What is necessary? And she said, thought must be filled with God's spiritual idea. See, in the measure as we fill thought with spiritual idea, there is nothing limited within ourselves that can fight the broader, the higher, the infinite. Then we can prove man's spiritual existence. So again we see that important point that we have heard, that we expand our consciousness always, that we stretch our consciousness always, that we are aware that limitation and finiteness would like to bound us and restrict us in every way possible, whereas we would like to break out of the limitation and go forward. But if we approach naturally life from what she here says, filled with God's idea, then we approach it always with an unlimited concept. And this is necessary. All right. That would be the tone of life, which summarized would just show that the whole tone of life indicating what Jesus brought new to the world in the 5,000-year period was the immortal idea of man, which would resolve the concept that man is a mortal. But how can we do that? We cannot make out of a mortal an immortal through some tricks. The only thing we can do is to have a different concept of life, namely a spiritual concept of life, instead of a limited material mortal concept of life. Therefore, she says, in life as mind, we must have a true view of life, namely from the point of view of mind's knowing. Then we can know life. In spirit, she says, therefore, we have to turn away from a material sense of life and understand spiritually what life is. And not try to see life in the body and in matter. And in soul, she says, this life is of the nature of soul, namely, it is absolutely identified with its ideas. I and the Father are one. Life in soul says life is life if it's life of principle or of idea, if it's the life of the Father or the life of the Son. I and the Father are one. It's all one big divine ego. The ego God is the true ego of the ego man. And that can be proved in so far as we see that we let go of the limitations of life, and the moment we approach life through the principled sense of life, which is only through ideas, through God's spiritual ideas, then we can prove to ourselves that we have that life which is God. Something you have to think about. All these subjects I only present very quickly. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry for you. Really sorry for you that you have to take in so much, you know. That's why at the beginning of the class, you remember, I said that I'm a bit hesitant and that you have to bear with me. You did wonderfully, wonderfully. I'm amazed that you didn't chemicalize more or at all.